Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So, last time, we left off with Moses at the burning bush, where God reveals himself to Moses as he is out there tending his father-in-law's flocks, you know, in kind of the depths of the wilderness there in Sinai. And God takes all of these different pieces of Moses' life and identity and turns them into this call to go and be the person who goes back to Egypt to lead my people out of slavery and freedom, to be the one who goes up to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And Moses is reluctant to want to accept this call, so he and God have a little back and forth with each other for a good chunk of time, in which Moses tries every excuse he can come up with not to be the person that God is calling to do this. But finally, Moses says, "All right, I'll do it." And so he makes his way back to Egypt. He reunites with his birth family, with his brother Aaron, who will be his right-hand man in charge of much of the public speaking in this call that God has placed upon Moses. He reunites with his sister, Miriam, who was the one who took him in the basket so many years ago down to the river and set him adrift while following in the bushes to keep an eye on him and make sure that he wound up someplace safe from the slaughter of his people that was going on. He reconnects with the Hebrew people, his people, even though he spent the first years of his life living in the Egyptian palace. And finally, he goes boldly with Aaron into Pharaoh's palace, and he delivers a message. Now, when we picture this scene, we picture undoubtedly something that looks more like the made for the screen picture of Moses boldly walking in and telling Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Now you can practically hear Charlton Heston's voice in your mind right now, if you, like me, grew up in the era in which the Ten Commandments was on television every single Easter Sunday from time immemorial. Well, that's not actually how it kicks off here. Moses and Aaron go into the palace and say, "Pharaoh, let my people have a long weekend." I was shocked rereading this at the initial ask that is made here. Let the people have 3 days to go out into the wilderness and worship God and make sacrifices. That is nowhere near as awe-inspiring of a request as, you know, the abolition of slavery, you know, for the Israelite people. You know, let my people go. It feels like something you'd ask your boss for, like, at work casually, and probably not be terribly worried about getting a thumbs up for that as long as you had some PTO left, like in your bank there. And I kept coming back and wondering, why is this what they lead with? Why is this the ask? Like, God's is sending them to, you know, like, tear down this evil institution that for 400 years has oppressed God's faithful people. Why are they asking for like a holiday weekend, basically? So I went back, and if you do read chapter 4 of Exodus, it fills in some gaps. And if you're interested in Moses' argument with God about why I'm not the guy, and God getting progressively more irritated with Moses and answering, "No, you are, and this is why," there is a bit there where God says to go and ask Pharaoh to, you know, let the people come out into the desert to worship me. And he's not going to say yes to this, by the way, but you're going to ask him anyways. So while Moses and Aaron are kind of faithfully doing what God has told them to do, there are some differences, and I think it's significant. Because Moses and Aaron actually take what God says and they change it and start adding some qualifications to it. They start hedging a little bit. God does not tell Moses to ask for 3 days. God tells Moses to ask that the people be allowed to go out into the wilderness and worship without a time stamp. But Moses and Aaron put one on there. God says, Pharaoh is not going to say yes to this, but you're going to ask him anyways. But then Moses and Aaron, when they go before Pharaoh, take on this almost obsequious kind of, you know, like you can just feel them like shrinking before Pharaoh as they go, could we like have just like 3 days? Just 3 days. I promise that's it. Like it's not going to be that big of a deal. And Pharaoh, of course, as God has said, says no to this. Now, it may be that in the unwritten parts of this story, God provides Moses and Aaron with this particular script. But I personally think it's more likely that Moses and Aaron step into the presence of one of the most powerful people in the world at this moment in time, arguably the most powerful person in the world at the height of the Egyptian Empire. And they're scared. They are afraid that if they come in boldly with the ask that God has given them there, something bad's going to happen to them. And something bad might happen to the people. And so maybe if we tone it down, maybe if we scale it back, maybe if we just, you know, start small, then maybe we can gradually ramp up to, well, now that you've given us the 3-day weekend, maybe we could have some more. Maybe you could like let us take a little longer next time. Maybe we could, you know, get a 40-hour work week and weekends off and, you know, so, you know, like a better benefits package for our enslavement for life. Like it, the more you think about it, the more it's like this, there's something that doesn't sit right here with like, with all of this. And for me, it just reeks of fear. I remember watching back probably 20 years ago now. My mom had TBN or Sky Angel, one of the Christian networks on. And I forget the name of the person whose show was on that she was watching. I remember he was South African, but I forget the name of this particular evangelist. And while I'm willing to reckon that I would probably have plenty of theological issues or concerns with much of what he had to say, there's this moment that stuck with me where he was describing a dream that he had, where in the dream, God had given him a mountain, but the giants had taken over the mountain, had taken the mountain. But then he realized that it wasn't giants, it was fear that had robbed him of this gift that God had given. It was fear that had gotten in the way of the blessing and providence of God's calling for him. It was fear that was really the giant that stood in the way. And I don't care whether you're non-denominational, evangelical, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Orthodox, nothing in particular at all. That word right there, that it is fear that blocks us so often from realizing the goodness and mercy of God and stepping into the call that comes with that goodness and mercy to live it out in the world. that resonates with me, and I bet that resonates with a lot of other folks too. Because how often have we sat and let fear take over the narrative and start coming up with the reasons why we can't do the big things, why we can't dream as big as God calls us to, why we can't step up and do the thing that's hard or challenging that God has set before us as the task at hand. I cannot tell you how many times, and even just 15 years of ministry and mostly small congregations, that fear of what could happen has come up as the principal reason why we don't take on a new task when it comes to ministry or live into meeting a need in the community that people feel really passionate and called into doing. And it always masks itself a little bit. It never comes up as, well, I'm afraid. It always comes up as, well, what if our insurance company decides that they're not gonna, you know, cover something if there's an accident when we do this thing that has relatively low risk of an accident happening? What if somebody says that, oh, well, the congregational constitution requires like X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3 for us to be able to approve doing this. And what if we don't, you know, accidentally don't dot all the I's and cross all the T's and somebody decides to pitch a fit about it? What if, what if, what if? Well, what if Pharaoh decides to throw us into jail after we get up and we make the big ask? What if Pharaoh cuts off our heads? What if Pharaoh decides, these people are too troublesome, I'm just going to kill them all? What if? Well, what if we dared to trust in the God who has brought us this far by faith? What if we embraced God's promise to walk with us, God's promise to equip us, God's promise to make a way where there seems to be no way? Well, we struggle with that. So God finds other ways to break things open when our fear takes control and gets in the way of accomplishing God's will. Because things go from bad to worse here. The little ask, just a 3-day break to go and worship, is received about as well as if Moses and Aaron had come in there and said, let my people go. Pharaoh is like, fat chance, y'all are lazy for asking for time off. So guess what? You're going to work more. We're not going to give you the supplies that you need to make your bricks. You're going to have to gather those up and still make the bricks. So enjoy your extra several hours of work a day. And we'll beat you if you don't keep making as many bricks and meet your quota. And the Israelites are not happy about this. I mean, I feel like most people are not thrilled with being told you're lazy and you need to work more. I imagine people who are into century number 4 of slavery, you know, being told you're lazy and you need to work more really doesn't go over well. And then the people cry out to Moses and Aaron, look what you did. You know, instead of getting like a few days off to like go and have a revival, now we just get more work. What'd you do that for? Things reach the breaking point, the point at which the reality has become so intolerable that the fear of staying where you are is bigger than the fear of what might happen if you decide not to. You know, the cracks start to show up dramatically as the people realize that things are not ever going to get better under Pharaoh and slavery in Egypt. And in that intolerability come the openings for God's grace and mercy, God's call to break through the noise and the fear, break it down, and create a way. Create the avenue for Moses and Aaron to come back to Pharaoh and say, all right, we tried to give you the easy option, so this is the way that it's going to be because you were completely inflexible about that. If we are God's faithful people and God calls us to go out into the desert and worship, we're going to do that. And if you're going to be in the way, then I guess we're just going to have to let God remove you from being the obstacle here in the way. To quote Janis Joplin, maybe freedom really is just another word for nothing left to lose, but with that freedom, with that depth of despair, there comes that freedom. There comes that ability to say, forget it. I'm not afraid anymore, or I'm not so afraid that I am unwilling to step forward in faith. I am not so afraid of what is or what might be because of how terrible what is right now. God's liberating power starts to break through. It shakes things up. It starts to move the people. It has prepared them now for what with what they need to take that saving word, to take the work that God is preparing to do in their midst, the work of liberation from the powers that hold them down, and step forward in it. Because it is for freedom that Christ sets us free. It is for freedom that we are liberated by God, not for 3 days, but for life. To live life worth living and discover God's life living in us through that. And it's true for us today, not just 3,000 years ago in a faraway place, but today too. God's kingdom is seeking to break through the places where fear holds us, holds you down, to liberate us as God's faithful people from the things that hold us back from doing God's work in the world, from the full realization of God's grace and mercy. What's stopping you from hearing that saving word that you are forgiven and free? What's stopping you from feeling like you've got what you need to go and do the things that you feel God might be calling you to do in this community, in this congregation, or in the wider world, to share grace and mercy, to share the liberating love of God that we find in Christ Jesus? Because I tell you today, this Independence Day weekend, that we worship a God of freedom. We are saved, we are redeemed by a God whose deep desire for us is our liberty from sin and death and from all of their powers that keep us in chains, that keep us held back, that keep us cowering in fear from the call that's given us in baptism to go, to follow, to do, to live. It is for freedom that we are set free. So my siblings in Christ, my co-laborers in the gospel here in this community, let us walk in that freedom. Let us run in that freedom. Let us dance and celebrate in that freedom today, tomorrow, and always, and may we be faithful doers of the word that God calls us to, of the saving word of the gospel. On behalf of this community, on behalf of all of our neighbors, whether they're down the street or across the world, let us be people of freedom, liberated by a loving God. And may our neighbors see God alive and active in this place when they see us out in the community, living in the glorious freedom of God's grace and mercy. Amen.